Good morning.
Good morning.
Please take a moment to fill out the pew pads to record your attendance. Happy birthday to Kim Long this week. Please continue to pray for J. Lee Eckerd. He was found to be doing a little better earlier this week when Pastor Leonard visited him. Kathy Aulis has continued to recover at home this week. Also continue to hold Tammy Falcone in your prayers during her recovery from successful back surgery. And note that her room number at Trinity Ridge is now 714. Margie Eisenhower has skin cancer, and her daughters Debbie Benge has breast cancer, and Melissa George has had seizures. So please keep them in your prayers. Remember to pray for all those who are at home or in nursing facilities and cannot be here to worship with us. Also continue to pray for our call committee. I believe they have a meeting today at 1 o'clock. A little something extra this month is for the CCM Heating Fund, and today is the final day for collecting canned vegetables here for CCM. You can place the items here on the table. If you have not done so yet, please pick up your offering envelopes and your annual statements from the hallway next to the office. Committee chairs and liaisons, please mark your calendars to attend a meeting on February 4th at 6 o'clock to discuss Community Fest. It's only a few months away. The worship and music ministry team will meet today at 2, and Congregational Life Ministry team will meet on Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the conference room. The first meeting for those who have signed up to help in the food pantry and clothes closet will be next Saturday, February 1st at 10 a.m. Are there any other announcements you'd like to make? All right, then we will continue with worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Stephen's. If you're a visitor, we're so glad that you're here today. We hope that you'll return often to worship with us. You perhaps noticed in the bulletin this yellow flyer. It has to do with home communion. We have a number of people that are not able to come to worship, and we need more people that are willing to provide home communion. What that means is that about every month, we, at the first Sunday of the month, after the Holy Communion is consecrated, then we consecrate it, bless it here, and people go from here sometime during the week, normally on a Sunday afternoon, but sometime during the week, to deliver home communion. St. Stephen's has been doing that for a long, long time, but now we, with more shut-ins, need more people to do that. 2 weeks from today, the 9th of February, I'm going to meet with those people that would like to have more information at 9:15 over in the chapel. So I'd like for you to consider just stopping by the chapel and let us talk about what that looks like. No strings attached. You don't need necessarily to do it, but if you'd like to know more about it, I'd like to tell you more about it and how that works. So please keep that in mind. And if you'd like to attend on that particular Sunday during Sunday school, then just drop this in the offering plate. Thanks. It's a very meaningful ministry to those people who receive Holy Communion and those people who deliver Holy Communion. Please rise as you're able for the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ, crucified and risen. God who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation. In the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the fullness and faithfulness of Jesus Christ. receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This is the time on Sunday morning that I have a chance to talk to the younger group that might be among us. Don't know that we have any young folks today, but I can't pass up the opportunity to talk about fishing. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and first of all, he says that people need to repent because he says the kingdom of God is near. And then Jesus calls the disciples. He calls Andrew and Peter and then James and John. And then he says, after he calls them, I'm telling you what I want you guys to do. I want you to stop fishing for fish, or at least not do that primarily, but then I want you to start fishing for people. Kind of two prongs to that, the call and then the invitation to fish. And I would say that we're all called to be disciples. Our call comes at different times in our lives, but the call comes when we're baptized. We pour the water into the font, and the water and the word together is how God works to claim us. And we say to people who are baptized, they may be children, they might be adults. If it's a child, the child doesn't know what's happening. But it's not what the child is doing, it's what God is about and what God is doing. Then we say, as we give that child or the parents of the child, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's an invitation to go fishing. It's a call. Now, this is a fishing rod. This is called a tinkara rod. And they've only been having tinkara rods in the United States for probably 5 or 6 years. It's a rod that was developed in Japan. It's a telescopic rod. So you bring it out this way. And there's not a hook on this, so just keep that in mind. But now, if I wanted to catch someone in the choir, just kidding. The idea, though, is you want to throw the hook, if there's a hook on here, to a particular place. You need to be able to look at the water and decide where the fish might be. That's very important. So if I thought the fish was going to be on that third pew, one, two, three, third pew, I would try to throw it there, and I think I missed it, see? I was on the fourth pew. So it's really important that we know where the fish are, and we try to put the hook where we can find the fish. But it's a little more complicated than that. Once you find the fish, you need to decide what kind of a hook you're going to use. Now, these are flies, and that's a fly. And some of these flies are very, very small. And we have a saying, that's a fly, but you can't see it, it's so small. We have a saying in fly fishing, you need to try to match the hatch, which means you're trying to figure out what are the fish feeding on, and you need to try and match that. So that takes a while. Then you have to figure out how deep are the fish, or are you going to fish up on top of the water? All that's very complicated, and you're trying to then somehow get the fish close enough so that you can get the fish in the net. Now, all that is to say, when you're fishing for people like Jesus suggested in today's lesson, you have to figure out what will speak to those people. How do I fish for this particular person? And you don't always fish the same way for the same person. You could invite someone to church, and they may appreciate it, others may not. Sometimes it's not inviting people to church, but it's just kind of being Christ to them. There are different ways to fish. There are different kinds of fish. So we need to remember, one, we're called in holy baptism to in some way go about fishing and then ask God's Holy Spirit to guide us how we do that. Some people would never use a rod like this. It doesn't even have a reel. You have to bring it in this way. I mean, it's really very different. So the way you fish is important. And sometimes we don't know how to fish. We just have to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us on how we go about it. Just give me a minute here.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. There will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We recite Psalm 27 responsibly by whole verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek God in the temple.
For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter, hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God, my salvation. The second reading is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I was baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather in your holy house this day to worship you, to receive you in the bread and the wine, to hear your holy word. As we gather here, we pray for congregations around the world that proclaim the good news that Christ is Lord. We ask always, O Lord, that we might serve you, knowing that you have called us to be your children. It's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Little Robbie was 8 years old when his father died. Robbie was devastated. His mother really wasn't able to work, so at 10 years old, Robbie began to work as an apprentice to a barber to support his mother. He couldn't really expect any help from his mother's father because he had been very much opposed to her marrying Robbie's dad. So he kind of disinherited them. So Robbie and his mother were all by themselves. Robbie, therefore, wasn't able to get a very good education, but he did a lot of reading, and then he fell into the wrong crowd. He did all kinds of things he later was sorry for, but he recalls one day how he and some of his hoodlum friends were aggravating a gypsy fortune teller, and they made her, without pay, to tell their fortune. And when she looked at Robbie, she said to him as she pointed her finger, "You, young man, are going to see your children and your children's children." Now that was an awakening moment for Robbie. Even as a teenager, the idea that he would be able to live long enough to see children and grandchildren. He thought about it. In fact, he changed his way of living for 3 days, and then he was back to where he was before. A couple months later, he and some of his friends went to hear a visiting preacher who was in the community preaching, having a kind of an evangelistic meeting, George Whitefield. They went to hear him, but they really went in order to somehow disrupt the crowd and make fun of him. But when they were there, George Whitefield preached on a text from Matthew about how we needed to turn our lives around. And that time, he changed his life for about 5 days. And then, a couple years later, when he was 20 years old, he realized that he really needed to do something with his life. His life needed to be changed. So he became a pastor in a church nearby and went on through the years to serve large congregations. At one time, he was preaching to over 1,000 people on a given Sunday. So little Robbie was able to turn his life around, but he always was troubled, not wanting to do what God wanted him to do. He had this deep sense that he needed to follow God, he needed to do God's will. Even though he had changed his life, he always wanted to go back to where he was before. Today's gospel lesson has to do with how we should change our lives, and there's always that temptation not to want to change, or at least not to change very much. Now, in the gospel lesson today from St. Matthew, Jesus hears that John the Baptist has been arrested. He's been arrested by Herod the Great because he had spoken out against some of the things that Herod was doing, and he was saying, "Herod, King Herod, you need to change your life." He wasn't willing to do that, so he threw John in prison. Now, Jesus must have known that if John was in prison, he probably wasn't too far behind. John and Jesus were friends. They were cousins. Their mothers had been very good friends and were related. So the idea that he might be arrested perhaps made Jesus leave Nazareth and go up to Galilee, went up north to be around the Sea of Galilee, and he started living and preaching there. It was when Jesus began his ministry and he was now reaching out not to Jews necessarily, but also to Gentiles. And then in the gospel lesson, Matthew quotes Isaiah 9, where Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." So Jesus is now going to bring light to the darkness, beginning his ministry, and he says a couple of things. One, he says, "You should repent." And then he says, "The kingdom of God is near." Now, Jesus and John both had disciples. They both lived in the same general area, but there were some distinct differences about these two. John was down around the Dead Sea in the wilderness. He was out there kind of by himself, and people had to go see John. Jesus went to where people were around Capernaum and around the Sea of Galilee. John said, "Repent." Jesus said, "Repent because the kingdom of God is near." Two very different messages. John talked more about the law and what we have to do. Jesus talked more about the gospel and what God is doing through him. Jesus and John both talked about God. John said, "I came to prepare the way." But Jesus said, "I am the way." John was law and judgment. Jesus was gospel and mercy. Remember in your readings or listening here in the last couple weeks, we talked about how John sent some of his disciples to see Jesus and ask, "Are you the one we've been looking for?" You see, their message was similar but very different. John had been talking about repentance. So when Jesus spent time with sinners, John in prison really wondered about him. He had already said to the Jews, as they asked, "Who are you, John?" He said, "I came to prepare the way." And he talked about how he had baptized Jesus and how the Holy Spirit came down and said, "This is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased." But now John began to wonder. So he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the one we should expect?" You see, John had difficulty understanding how Jesus would spend time with sinners. But Jesus' message was one of mercy and forgiveness. So now we find Jesus, our Lord, up at the Sea of Galilee. Now, we call it the Sea of Galilee. It's really not a sea. It's only 13 miles long and 7 miles wide, 700 feet below sea level. It's a lake. But in that part of the world, water is so scarce, a lake feels like a sea. So it's called the Sea of Galilee. And a lot of people fished around the Sea of Galilee. There are a lot of fish in the Sea of Galilee. In fact, there on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, you can buy St. Peter's fish. And they sell tons of that fish. Probably, it's pretty good, but it probably because it's named St. Peter's fish. So Jesus was there at the Sea of Galilee, and if you'll notice, he qualifies the called. He doesn't necessarily call the qualified. Here are people fishing, walking down by the Sea of Galilee, and I should say, Jesus already has met these guys, these people he's calling. In fact, in the first chapter of John, he meets them. He even gives Peter his name, Peter. He was called Cephas. And he says, "Now I'm going to call you the rock, Peter." So he had already called them. I mean, he'd really talked to them. They knew Jesus. Jesus knew them. They were all in the same area. But today, he actually issues that call. He says to Simon and to Andrew, and they are casting nets. They're probably, it's hard to know, but they're probably there just off the shore casting some nets, catching fish. And Jesus says to them, "I want you to join me, and I want you to fish not for fish, but to fish for people." He goes on down the shore, and he sees James and John, sons of Zebedee. And he says to them, as they were mending their nets, that he wants them to join him as disciples. So he now gets his first four disciples, probably the core of his 12 disciples. For years, we thought that probably Peter was a lowly fisherman. And that may be true, but archaeologists in the last 10 years or so have started to think that probably Peter was a very accomplished fisherman. You can now visit what we believe was Peter's home. Peter's home is there on the right near the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it's a huge, huge home. And now thick glass has been placed over Peter's home. And you can actually walk over the top of Peter's home and look down into the various rooms. It's a magnificent building that clearly was a home of someone. And the thinking is, because of other relics around, that this was Peter's home. So the thinking is now, Peter was probably very prosperous and maybe had maybe even 100 people working for him as a fisherman. So we have here Peter, who was in some ways the leader of the disciples, not just nothing wrong with being a fisherman, and he was a fisherman, but he had a lot of people working for him. Probably had maybe 50 or 60 or more boats that he had out fishing with other people at work. So Jesus then calls these disciples, And he asks them to turn their lives around, repent. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near means that healing and mercy and grace are present. That's the meaning, I think, of Jesus and God being near. It's not so much law and what you have to do, but rather what God has done in Christ. Huge difference. The focus, first of all, is what God does, always. If you'll notice Scripture, God always acts first, then we have an opportunity to in some way respond. So Scripture is to tell us what God did in Jesus. Then secondly, we respond as best we are able through our call. And we're invited to fish, to in some way change the way we live. Alfred Nobel was one of eight children. He was a chemist. He loved explosives. His family was involved in explosives. In fact, the entire family worked with nitroglycerin and gunpowder. And Alfred Nobel actually invented dynamite. He had over 350 patents. He wrote plays. He wrote novels that were never published. He had over 90 factories making various explosives. In fact, two of his plants actually exploded and killed everyone inside the plant. And through dynamite, many people lost their lives. In France, his brother Ludwig died, and somehow the newspapers in France thought that it was Alfred that had died. So they reported out in all their news releases that Alfred had died, and they called him the Merchant of Death. Well, you can imagine Alfred picked up the paper and read his own obituary. And he was horrified that he was called the Merchant of Death. So he turned his life around. And his immense fortune when he died was left to set up the Nobel Prizes. Every year, a prize is given for chemistry and physics and medicine and literature and the Nobel Peace Prize. He thought he had done so much damage through his invention, so many people had died. If he could lift up the idea of peace, that would be something that would be wonderful. And the Nobel Peace Prize is so coveted. The person who gets the Nobel Peace Prize is chosen by five people, selected by the parliament in Norway, and they choose someone from each of those areas, but the Nobel Peace Prize recognizes the person who has done the most for peace. And then those people that win the Nobel Peace Prize receive about $1 million+ for that award. You see, he was able to read his own obituary, and if we could read our own obituary, it might change the way we live. Jesus is saying today that we need to change the way we live. We need to repent, and we need to, in some way, turn our lives around. Repent doesn't mean changing a little bit. Repent means to change in a significant, a very large way. Because Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. In the second lesson today, Paul is writing the people in Corinth. Now, Corinth has always been a problem for Paul and for the church. Paul had visited Corinth, and after he left, they began to disagree. They just couldn't agree on really anything. Some people, he said, were following Paul himself. Some were following Christ. Some were following Apollos. Some Cephas. And they were saying that some of those people, various people, baptized them, and whoever baptized them was who they were going to follow. Paul said, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you disagree over who baptized you? What's important that Christ is Lord? So he pleaded the case that they start grumbling among themselves, and they think about how they can change in that way. Not grumble, but somehow praise God. And he talks about how there's darkness in the church in Corinth. And even Paul says he's not very eloquent. Now, you know, Paul had, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but we believe something wasn't just right with Paul. Probably not near as eloquent as Peter or some of the disciples, but he said in today's second lesson, the gifts that I have, I'm going to use to the best of my ability. That's really what we're all called to do. Whatever we do well, we do that to the glory of God. In other words, we fish as best we know how. And we all have some gifts for fishing. In the Old Testament lesson, we find Isaiah, the same place on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus is talking to the disciples. And there we hear that text from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, which we read every Christmas Eve. It talks about how we walked in darkness, but now you will see a great light. And Epiphany is a season of seeing a great light. Remember I told you about little Robbie? Well, little Robbie, when he was 20 years old, kind of turned his life around. And when he was 22, he was a pastor in a church, but he was still struggling, trying to figure out how he could completely leave that sinful life behind. Well, that's not really possible. But it was a struggle for little Robbie. His name was Robert Robinson. So when he was 22, he wrote a beautiful hymn. That was in 1757, over 250 years ago. So we're going to sing a couple of verses of this hymn that little Robbie wrote 200 plus years ago. Turn in your red hymnal, if you would, to hymn 807. Now we're just going to sing the last two verses, but as we sing it, listen to the struggle that little Robbie has. The last verse. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. First two verses of 807. Come thou fount of every blessing. I might say fount. Another word for fount might be the source. So come the source of every blessing. The scripture is very clear. That hymn is very clear. We're called in the water and in the word. There's nothing holy about this water, but we combine God's holy word with the water, and Jesus calls people by name. Mary, John, I baptize you, I claim you, I love you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our call. In fact, we know that that's the place where God speaks to us. God speaks to us in three places we know for sure, many other places, but for sure. One is in baptism, one is in Holy Communion, and one is through Scripture. So in the water and the Word, God speaks, God calls us. Then, as God and Jesus invited the disciples, called the disciples to go fishing, we're invited to some way pick up a net of some sort and fish. Now, that's a challenge. Remember the challenge little Robbie faced? It's hard. It's a challenge for us to in some way be fishers for people. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to let our light shine. We all have different gifts. In fact, I'm amazed at so many of the wonderful gifts that you have here in this church. Everyone, all of us, are differently gifted. So we have to figure out what is our gift and how can we go fishing. So this week, I invite you to be in prayer and go fishing. Amen.
together through water and the word, we boldly pray for the church, the world, and all who long to hear God's voice. Holy One, your voice calls us to follow. Thank you for raising up missionaries in every generation, especially Timothy, Titus, and Silas, and for all who create communities of grace today. Open our hearts to serve you near and far. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Maker of all, we rejoice in the beauty and abundance of the earth. Unite us in our shared calling to be stewards of creation, to reduce waste, and to simplify our lives for your sake. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Ruler of all, thank you for those who run for local and national office, and all who serve as elected leaders. Gather wise and courageous voices together, that your mercy and justice would dawn upon all people and nations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Healer of all, thank you for sanctuary and safety. Uplift all who live where fear governs and evil divides. Give refugees and all who seek safety a path toward hope and new life. Grant healing and wholeness in all who are sick, lonely, or grieving, especially the Lewis White family and those we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of courage, thank you for faithful teachers and evangelists in this and every place. Inspire our faith formation efforts with all generations as you call us to follow you. Bless our children, youth, and adults who engage in learning. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Risen Lord, we marvel at the meeting of your resurrection. Give us faith to call all hope in you as we give thanks for the faithful departed. May their witness help us follow your call. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We place our prayer before you, God, united in your spirit through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We share Christ's peace.
Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from Mother Earth you bring forth this bread and wine. We place them on your table, together with our lives and all that we have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him to be your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. So with all the choirs of the angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send your servants forth in peace, that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look on you with favor and give you peace. Baptism to share the good news. Therefore, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.